Let us turn to the Word of God and the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, and we will read verse 16. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. As we've considered, God is telling Isaiah and all true believers to sanctify himself, set him apart in our hearts and minds, as infinitely separated from all his creatures and exalted above them, so that we fear him and trust in him continually. And he will be a sanctuary to us. He will be our refuge, and his very holiness will be our protection. But for those who reject God, those who do not trust in him, even after they have the offer of hope to them, that offer of hope and mercy and salvation will actually turn to their destruction. They will fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. There will be no escape for those who die without Christ, having rejected him throughout their life and died finally hardened and impenitent. And because they have rejected the truth, because they have gone on in their sin, God withdraws from them. God withdraws from them his goodness and power, and he leaves them to their blindness and their disobedience. And that is a very sad reality, which we must not forget. Those who reject the gospel, their punishment will be worse than for others. But the Lord has his true disciples, and he tells them, or actually he tells Isaiah, that this is what he should do for them: bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. God is encouraging Isaiah to go on and preach boldly. Yes, some will reject the word, but still, God has his disciples. Bind and seal the truth among them. They will receive it, while others turn from it. They will still hide God's word in their hearts. God has his disciples. He has them, and they will surely receive his word. So bind up the law, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Are you a disciple of the Lord? Is the law and the testimony of God precious to you? And do you desire that God's word would be sealed up in your own heart? We consider first the disciples of the Lord, and secondly, the testimony and the law, and thirdly, the binding and sealing of the truth in their hearts. The disciples of the Lord, the testimony and the law, and the binding and sealing of the testimony and the law. First of all, the disciples of the Lord. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. As so many in Isaiah's time would depart from the truth, they would reject the teaching of the prophet Isaiah, but there would be a remnant. There would be those who remain attached to the truth, and these were the true disciples of the Lord. A disciple is one who submits to the teaching of another. A disciple is one who submits to the one who is teaching, the one who is qualified to teach. We read of John's disciples, Moses' disciples, the disciples of the Pharisees, and Jesus' disciples. And a biblical disciple is one who believes the teaching of God's word, and also conforms to the precepts, that is, conforms to the will of God, the commandments of God. And so discipleship is conforming, it's our minds conforming and our wills conforming to the teaching of the Lord. Remember, Jesus commanded his servants, the apostles, and all his ministers through them to to go preach the gospel. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And literally that is, make disciples of all nations. They were to make disciples. They were to make converts. They were to preach the word, and by the grace of God, these hearers would embrace the teaching. But instrumentally, they were to make disciples. And then they would baptize them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, these disciples would need to be further taught. And so the Lord Jesus says, teaching them, these ones who are disciples and are baptized, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So these are disciples, and God has his disciples in the earth. And he tells his prophet Isaiah, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Well, literally, a disciple is one who is taught. One who is taught, that's the original. And so these people are learners. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my learners. Well, are you a learner? Am I a learner? Do we seek to learn from God's word? Do we pray for light upon the word that we would learn indeed, and that we would not only have the knowledge in our minds, but the truth in our hearts? Do we seek to be taught by the word and spirit of Christ? You all remember how Mary, the sister of Martha, was listening to the Lord Jesus teach. And Martha, of course, was wishing that Mary would come and help her with the various duties. But the Lord Jesus said that Mary had chosen the better part, which would not be taken from her. And what Mary was doing was sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. She was a disciple. Martha was a disciple too. But in that exercise, Mary was drinking in the word from the Lord Jesus. She was hearing his word, sitting at his feet. Well, do we desire to be like Mary in that way, a disciple of Jesus, sitting at the feet of Christ, hearing his word? So these are the Lord's disciples. And notice God says, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. These are not Isaiah's disciples. These are not Moses' disciples. These are God's disciples, God's learners. They are his people indeed. Remember the Lord Jesus said, if ye hear my word, ye shall be my disciples indeed. John chapter 8. He was speaking to some that did believe in him. Some, in this context, many are rejecting him, but some believed. Verse 29 of John chapter 8, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And then he says, verse 30, or rather John says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. And so they accepted his truth, but they needed to continue. And that would give evidence that they were his disciples. Then said Jesus to those Jews that which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So there's a following of Jesus as well as hearing him, that is conforming to his commandments, obeying him. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we need to be not only disciples by an outward adherence or subscribing to the shorter catechism and confession of faith, but disciples indeed, having the truth in our hearts, which manifests itself in the life. God's disciples. So here are the Lord's disciples, and they learn, they're taught. And what do they learn from? As you know, they learn from the Word of God. They submit to the testimony and the law of God. And this is what Isaiah's commanded, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. In the second place, then, the testimony and the law. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. What is the testimony? Well, generally speaking, a testimony is what a person gives when he or she bears witness. Bearing witness, giving a testimony. That is, the person is declaring what they have seen or heard, at least declaring what they know. They're giving testimony, declaring what they have seen and heard. And they are a witness to these things. They have seen it, they have witnessed it or heard it, and they're announcing to others, they're conveying the truth that they know as witnesses. They are testifying to what they know. They are giving testimony. Well, in the testimonies of God, God himself is testifying to his truth. He is declaring what he knows. He is declaring what he has determined. And that is what God's word and God's law is. They are his testimonies because God is revealing himself. He is conveying knowledge, his own knowledge, not all of his knowledge. That would not be possible for us. But he is giving knowledge to us, that which he himself knows, that which he himself has decreed. So they are his testimonies. And it has been explained this way, with it, which is a kind of technical definition, but the law of God is his testimony. The law of God is his testimony because it is his own affirmation relative to his very person and purpose. God's testimony is God affirming and revealing himself to us and revealing his ways to us. So a testimony of God, this is God's testimony. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. It is God testifying his truth. It is the revelation which God gave to Isaiah. That's the context, and it could likely refer to the immediate context, and that is this particular truth of sanctifying the Lord of hosts himself. Fear not their fear. Don't be afraid of what everyone else is afraid of, but fear the Lord. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary. He will protect you. His very holiness and justice will surround you. In his faithfulness to you, he will defend you from all enemies. So this is the testimony. God's truth is revealing to us himself and his purpose, and it's the security of his people, the danger of unbelief, and so on. Well, do we love God's testimonies? Do we love his truth? Are we learners of his testimony? Are we following the ways of the Lord that he has revealed himself, his testimonies? Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. The law. Well, the law is the declaration of God's will. The law of God is God declaring his will. It is a transcript of God himself. In other words, it's revealing who God is. Remember, Paul in Romans says that God is holy, just, and good. The commandment is holy, just, and good. And that is so. The law is the expression of God's holiness. It's the God asserting his authority. The law is revealing the will of God. The law reveals God's will for man, and it's the rule of duty. The law reveals our duty, what we owe to God. And again, the law, as a covenant, is armed with a penalty. And those who go on breaking God's law, they will receive the penalty of death. That is the curse of the law. And only those who are in Christ will escape that penalty. And so, you know, the law was revealed to the Israelites in the Ten Commandments. God gave to Israel a law, the moral law, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. He gave them also other laws as a nation, as a political body, which do not apply to us today except for the equity and the general principles that are found in that law. There was also the ceremonial law that was given, which were for the Israelites the means of grace, and they learned so much about principles of justice and grace, and that was the old way, which was called the covenant, in which God dispensed the blessings of salvation. That is abrogated. That old covenant is set aside. All the ceremonies, all the sacrifices are set aside. But still, it would be included in the law, at least for Isaiah's time. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And also, I should point out that the heathen themselves had the law written in their hearts. They had consciences. The conscience was just echoing God's law. They had the light of nature. And so their consciences were either accusing them or else excusing them. So even the heathen, those who did not have the revealed law in scripture form, they didn't have the written law, I should say. They had the law in their hearts, that is, and in their minds, in their consciences. So even the heathen are without excuse. They were disobeying God as they went against the light of nature. Now, the law of God, generally speaking, is, as we said, that which God requires. It's revealing his will to us. And the true disciples of the Lord delight in the law of God. As Paul said, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, though I see another law in my members," and you know what that law was, it was sin. So he delighted in the law of God, the Ten Commandments and everything that God revealed for us. He loved the law of God just as David did, and as all of God's people do today. They love God's word, they love his revealed will. But they still have sin, and that's their burden. And these are two contrary principles. They are opposites as day and night. The old man, principle of sin, wanting sin and finding sin attractive. That sinful nature has never changed, but the Lord's people have a new man which hates sin and desires that principle of sin would be destroyed. Is that your desire tonight? Do you desire that sin would be destroyed? And do you ever have longing thoughts towards heaven because it's a place where there's no sin? And you'll be free from sin, absolutely holy. Oh, we should think about heaven more than we do, and not least for this reason, that it's a place where there's absolute holiness, and no more sin, and no more groans, and no more struggles against sin, and no more being overwhelmed about sin, the place where nothing enters that defiles. But the Lord's people love the law, and to them it's not bondage. Their sinful nature, and Satan will say it's bondage, but no, they agree with the Apostle James, it's the perfect law of liberty. God has given them freedom, and Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the more we are in the Word of God, and less in the world, and less in the newspapers, we have to be informed, of course, but let's get the balance right and go to the Word and spend more time in the Word, and then we will love the law more. They're for the Lord's people, and we'll find liberty in learning from God and his word. And this testimony and this law are to be sealed in the hearts of God's disciples. In the third place, the binding and sealing of the truth. So Isaiah is required. Isaiah, the prophet of the Lord, is required to bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. I think the idea is a scroll. And after the scroll was unrolled and the scroll would be read, that's how books were in those days. They weren't made of front and back covers and pages in between, but they were scrolls that were unrolled, and then when they were finished, they'd be rolled back up and then tied together. So then they were tied and they were sealed. They were closed up. And just as a scribe would bind up the scroll and tie it up and seal it, close it off, so Isaiah was to bind the testimony in the hearts of God's disciples. So it's not a literal sealing. It's not a literal tying with a string, but it's a spiritual binding and sealing. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. As one has put it, Isaiah is to bind up God's revelation in the sense that he is to close it spiritually in the hearts of his disciples and to leave it there. Now, how exactly is Isaiah to do this? Well, he is required to proclaim the law. He's required to preach the truth faithfully. And in that way, he would be instrumental in sealing the word in the hearts of true disciples. He would be instrumental in sealing the word in the hearts of true disciples. The seal itself, this binding and sealing, having the truth in the heart and closed up, would be actually accomplished by the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit would plant the word in the hearts of God's disciples. Well, surely that's what we need to pray for. And pray earnestly that God's word would be sown in our hearts and not taken from us. And when we come to church, that we would not be like the seed that was sown on by the wayside, where the seed was picked up by the birds would fly down and take the seed away. And that's a picture of Satan. After we hear the word, Satan comes and takes the word right out of our hearts. And so it doesn't take effect. But we need to be praying that the word of God would abide in us. It would remain in us. Now, the truth being in the heart, and in this way bound and sealed and closed, in one sense, in that way, it's hid. The truth is hid from others. There may be an allusion to the fact that in God's secret purpose, the ministry of Isaiah would have a hardening effect on most of the hearers, and that's a sad reality. In some eras of church history, many people are just hardened. Preachers preach faithfully, and there's still a decline. So it was in Isaiah's day, and that would be the case in other periods of history. But especially, we know for sure that was the case in Isaiah's time, because that's what God told Isaiah would happen. Make their ears heavy and shut their eyes. Well, Isaiah was preaching. He was revealing the truth. But God is saying that's the effect of it. In God's secret purpose, that the preaching would have a hardening effect through their willful rejection of it. And God was leaving the people to themselves to punish them for their sins. And so they would go on hardening their hearts under clear, plain, faithful preaching. But for the disciples of the Lord, you see, oh, how different it would be. The testimony and the law would be sealed in their hearts. The truth would be hid within them. Yes, concealed from others. Through their blindness, others would see nothing lovely and attractive about God's disciples and the truth being in their hearts. And that's the way the world is today. If we're God's people, they often misunderstand us. And we might as well be sealed off and a closed book to the rest of the world, because they can't interpret us. We make no sense to them. They look upon us, for example, and see, well, they have no pleasure in their lives. I sure wouldn't want to live like them. They don't see the truth. They don't see the heart attachment. They don't see the joy and the liberty that God's people have. Sometimes we're at fault for not making it more manifest that we love the truth and the truth gives us joy. And we just need to go all the more into the truth, so that it would affect us more and we would absorb it more and it would start being radiating from us, and others would see that the truth makes us free. And the Lord Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father which is in heaven." So for us, if we're God's disciples, the truth will be in our hearts. And it will be sealed there. It will be hid there in the sense that we desire the truth to remain in us, and it sustains us. And like the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The law of God is the rule of our life. It directs us, and we love to have it so. We know that we have been delivered from the law as a covenant. The law cannot condemn us. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. He died for us. That's our guarantee that the law and nothing else can condemn us. We are free from the law from that point of view, but we're still under the law as our guide and rule and rule of righteousness for us. So, what are we to do? Well, if Isaiah was to bind up the testimony and seal the law, surely we should be praying, "Lord, bind up the testimony in my heart, seal the law in my heart. Oh, that the law would be within me." And that, as we read in Proverbs chapter 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck." Boys will put on their ties, they will tie it around their neck. Well, think about the truth being wrapped around your neck. Oh, that it would stay close there. And then write them upon the table of thine heart. Deep inside, pray that the word of God will be written in our hearts as to the love of it. Just as the scroll is being closed up and then bound with a string and tied and sealed, so that the truth would be bound in our hearts, closed up there, deep in our hearts, living and abiding word that endureth forever. Yes, the word of God lives and abides forever. And so God's disciples, they love the truth, and they desire it to be hid in their hearts. And Isaiah is given encouragement, and so ministers are encouraged as well to go on proclaiming the word to all, even though many reject it. God will enable his true disciples to receive it. So ministers are to preach the gospel, even though they see so few coming to Christ. God will bring his disciples. God will bring his disciples. They will come, they will feed upon the word, and they will enjoy and experience the truth, making them free. So again, no matter what others think of us, they see nothing lovely about our lifestyle. Just as they saw no beauty in Christ that they should desire him, the world will despise us, but let us persevere in following the truth. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows what's inside our hearts, and that's his own word. So let us hold it fast and press on and give thanks to the Lord. Moreover, by them, by the testimonies of the Lord, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And the Lord knows who his disciples are. We may feel unnoticed and neglected, but the Lord knows where we are. And the Lord sees our difficulties. He sees our isolation and our loneliness, it may be, but the Lord knows where we are. Even though we may have family that neglect us and despise us, yet the Lord looks upon us with favor as his disciples. And it's a comfort. As Paul says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That's the seal of God. Finally, let's look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the law of God was in his heart, and he perfectly fulfilled it and obeyed it. He was obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. He suffered the penalty for breaking the law, but he didn't break the law. His own disciples did, but they will not have to suffer the penalty because he suffered it for them. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. But do you love the word, or do you not? Has the testimony and the law not been sealed in your heart? Does it matter to you? Well, if it does, then be very anxious and eager to have the law rooted in your heart, the word taking root downward, seeking deep into your heart. Lord, bind up the testimony in my heart, seal the law deep in my soul. Let me be a true disciple of the Lord. And cry to him, because if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The Lord alone gives it, so go to him alone for it. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray.